reading from the 10th chapter of the book of John. John chapter number 10. Praise God. Before I read that, in the previous chapter, something wonderful had taken place. Jesus healed a blind man that had been blind since he was born. Yet as great as that miracle was, you would think that the people would rejoice, but the religious leaders were upset. Here's a man that's been blind all his life, and Jesus comes along and heals him, and the religious authorities were upset. Why? Because it did not fit with their philosophy. Did not fit with their theology. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and they believed he should not be the Son of God if he healed on the Sabbath day. And so I want everyone to understand tonight, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He's Lord all the time. Thank God. Then I'm going to read from the 10th chapter. Jesus gave a discourse after all that was going on there about the blind man. And he gives the discourse of the good shepherd. I'm going to begin reading with the first verse of the 10th chapter. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man hear, enter in, and he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And then notice the 11th verse. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want to preach tonight about the shepherd. We're going to have communion. I have three thoughts I'd like to bring your attention. I want you to keep your Bibles handy, because we're going to be turning to some scriptures in the course of the sermon time. First of all, the Bible lets me to know God. He said, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. I would like to begin right there. The first point tonight is, the good shepherd died for us. The good shepherd gave his life that we might have life. He died that we might live. Hallelujah. We've heard testimonies tonight how the people have lived in sin, and the mercies of God and the grace of God set them, and now God has saved them. We were all lost in sin. The death penalty was hanging over our heads like a dark cloud. We were destined for destruction. We were lost without any hope, and we could not save ourselves. But the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd, died for us. Brother, we ought to shout about that tonight. He died in our stead. Amen, amen, amen. He died for me. I've often said it, and I still believe it, if I was the only one that needed salvation, and Jesus would have died for me. I believe it. Amen, amen. We sang that chorus, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Hallelujah. Let me tell you tonight, Jesus is that someone. Hallelujah. And that paid the debt on Calvary's cross. He died that we might live. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, written some 700 years before Jesus appeared on the scene in the human form. He said he talked about Jesus 7 years ahead of time. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died for us, Isaiah said. I'm going to tell you tonight, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, died for the sins of all. Thank God, thank God. You have your Bibles open. I want you to turn to the 22nd chapter of Psalms. When you turn there, put a marker there, something there, so that you can turn back to that portion.
22nd chapter of Psalms.
Written by David 300 years earlier than the prophet Isaiah had written. He gives a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus 1,000 years before Christ came. If you have your Bibles in the 22nd chapter, look at the 13th verse. They gaped upon me with their mouths. Look at the 14th verse. All of my bones are out of joint. Look at the 15th verse. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Look at the 16th verse. They pierce my hands and my feet. And in the 18th verse, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. What are you saying, Brother Joseph? I'm saying tonight that the good shepherd died for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. And the psalmist David wrote 1,000 years earlier, and he gave the picture right there in that picture. Look at the very first verse of the 22nd chapter of Psalms. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my Lord? Listen, I want everyone to understand, God, Jesus came on the scene to die for the sins of the world. He left heaven to come to this earth to die for you and me. He's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. The picture of the good shepherd dying in our stead. And I thank the Lord for it. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 13. Keep your hand in Psalms. Hebrews chapter 13. I want to read from the 20th verse, 20th and 21st verses. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let me read the 20th verse again. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I mentioned in the first part in the 10th chapter of John how He's the good shepherd that died for the sheep. He died for you and me. And I'm grateful tonight. I heard Brian's testimony. I heard Teresa's testimony. I heard my wife and James and Kyle and Fred. I heard them testify tonight. And it's all by the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. We are here tonight because of the mercies of God. I like the 136th Psalm. Every verse it says, for His mercy endureth forever. I'm glad tonight He's been merciful to us. When I got saved, He was merciful. He was merciful the next week. He was merciful the next month. And the next year. And all the years in between. He's still merciful tonight. He's a merciful God. Amen, amen. Aren't you glad that He is? Where would they be if it had not been for the mercies of God? He's a good shepherd that died. According to the 22nd chapter of Psalms and the 10th chapter of John. Now I read Hebrews. Not only is He the good shepherd that died for us, He's the great shepherd who came forth from the tomb, arose from the dead, and He lives for us. Mark that down. The good shepherd died for us, but the great shepherd lives for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I jotted some things down. In our study of Revelation, we've learned that the Apostle John was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the ministry of the Word because he'd been preaching and they put him out there to die. But while he was out there, God gave him the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've said this oftentimes and I'll repeat it tonight. Churches upon churches upon churches feel as if they stay away from Revelation. It's a mystery. They cannot understand it. I was talking to someone this week. Maybe there's someone who's right here now. I can't remember who it was I was talking with. But I said, when you began to realize how that the Revelation falls right in place with the rest of the Bible, it is easy. It's easy to understand. It's not a mystery. It's a revealing. I believe the 17th chapter of Revelation would be just as real and just as revealing. What are you saying, preacher, tonight? I'm saying that Jesus Christ is a merciful one, a good God. And the Bible says while John was out there on the Isle of Patmos, they were expecting him and planning for him to die. God gave him a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and listen to these words. And when I saw him, this is John's words, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And his hand, his right hand, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am he that, the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Let me read that again. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me just leave some of you tonight. When John saw him, he fell down to worship. He was as a dead man. A lot of people mock and blaspheme and make fun of the Almighty God. But when John, a man that loved God, saw the Lord in all his glory and splendor and holiness, he fell as a dead man. Listen up, when you stand in the presence of God, there's something real about it. There's no time to be light. Time to be serious in the presence of God. He said, I fell as a dead man. He said, and he laid his right hand upon me. The right hand represents power. He laid his right hand upon me. He said, fear not, for I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Let the Antichrist do what he will. Let the false prophet do what he will. Let the Satan do what he will. Let all the battles do what they will. But our God, our Lord, the Lord, is alive forevermore. Thank God, thank God. Listen if you will. John and Isaiah said, he's a good shepherd that died for us. Now we read how that he, Peter says, he is the great shepherd that lives for us. I'm glad that he died. That might be a hard way to say it. If I had been there, I hope I would not have joined with the crowd. I hope that I would have been like some of those that loved him. But I'm glad that he took my place. Maybe that's a better way to say it. I was the one that was under the penalty of sin. I was the one that was destined to die. I read the Bible, for the wages of sin is death. I read the third chapter before that. And they said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell. Like some of you testified tonight, sin had a hold of my life and it had me bound. But I'm glad tonight that I'm serving a living Savior, that he's a great shepherd. He lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He died, but he could not stay dead. They buried him with a tomb, could not contain him. They had the tomb sealed, but the angels broke the seal and gold was still there. And the sand of men slipped by. And they fell as dead men in the light. And the Bible says they had 4 quarter millions of soldiers that changed God. Every 4 hours they'd have a change of God standing around about the tomb. But I want you to know, no chain and no seal and no tomb and no rock and no stone and no God could hold him. He's came forth. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Forevermore, forevermore. Brother Jones, you get excited. Surely I do. He lives. He lives. He lives in my heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They could not hold him. He came forth. The psalm writer said, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If he was not alive tonight, we have nothing to live for. If the Lord Jesus is not the great shepherd that lives tonight, I hope we have no hope. There's nothing but all in vain, Paul said in the book of Corinthians. For it was that the repentance of Christ be not risen. Our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, our hope is in vain. It's all in vain, but I want you to know, he lives, he lives. Well, glory to God. I mentioned in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms that he is the good shepherd that died. I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm. Possibly the most popular chapter in the Bible. Begins with the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me stop right there. When he said the Lord is my shepherd, is
is something that is happening now. He's alive now. He's my shepherd now. Hallelujah. Then you read on through. I heard a story one time. I don't even, I hadn't thought of it, but to write them, and I don't know if I don't get it right, I hope I get the gist of it. They were having some type of a, maybe not a contest, but they were, someone was playing the violin. And they played the Lord, the song. The Lord is my shepherd, they played. And when it was all over, it seemed like it was emptiness. The person was good with the violin, but seemed so empty. And after a while, an elderly man stepped up and said, "Could I have the bow?" And he took the violin, and when he began to play, there was something altogether different about it. And someone asked the question when it was all over, "What made the difference? What made the difference?" And the answer was, the first knew music, the second knew the Lord. Knew the shepherd. It makes all the difference in the world when you know the Lord. I love good gospel singing, but I've been put off so much in our ministry by people that have come to entertain. I love man. I love brother. Brother Lewis got a stack of CDs I imagine is that high of good gospel singing. Oh, good gospel singing. We've come to a time tonight that is almost I can hardly find anyone out there that I would like to come and stand on the platform or stand in this church to sing, because there's so much carnality and so much entertainment. Thank God for those who still have the goods. Thank God for those who still have the anointing. But still God in earth and blesses. Hallelujah. Give God the glory tonight. Listen, if you will, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms, we find that your God, the Lord Jesus, is the good shepherd that died for us. And they shed his blood. He was thirsty on the cross. They parted his garments. They cast lots for his garments. He died, pouring out his life blood. But when I come to the 23rd Psalm, he's my shepherd. He's the living shepherd. He's risen from the dead. He's alive, alive, alive forevermore. Thank God, thank God. God, thank God, I'm serving a living Savior tonight. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Sent this earlier, before David wrote the 23rd Psalm, sent this earlier, the Bible lets me to know that Job got a glimpse of the Messiah's resurrection, and he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, "There's one thing that I am assured of, one thing that I have no doubts about at all. I know that my Redeemer liveth." And he went on to say, "After I die, after my body goes back to the grave, after my body returns to the dust, I'm going to receive a glorified body." And he said, "And in my flesh I shall see God. In my flesh shall I see God." Hallelujah. He's talking about a glorified body. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Jones, is that flesh?" Yes, spiritual flesh. Yes. Jesus said, "Here, handle. Handle me in a glorified form." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Job, along with David, said that not only is God Christ the good shepherd that died, he's the great shepherd that arose again. And he lives. I don't know if any of you have ever been to the Easter program at Liberty Baptist. And this happened maybe 20 years ago or more. We went one evening to that Easter program, and I don't know what the name of it, but it was about his living. Anyone know the name? Living Pictures was the whole thing. But it was about the resurrection of Christ. And I'm not Baptist. But there are a lot of good Baptists that love God.
That's right.
Amen. Some of them are not living for God. You say, "How do you know, Brother John? Well, he's my cousin. And he's living in sin, but he was a part of that program that night. I've been around him." You don't use that kind of language and love God.
Amen.
We're known by our fruits.
Yes.
But when they began to sing that last song, "He's alive." I believe that was the name of it. "He's alive, he's alive." Was that it? And that crowd that had been in that program, And the choir was singing, and they were walking down the aisle of the old Liberty Baptist Church over on Todd's Lane. That whole crowd was walking down that aisle, and they were singing, "He's alive, he's alive, he's alive." I'm not Baptist, but I can tell you he was alive. Sitting in that pew that day, that was something that was bubbling over in my soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can tell you he's alive, and I can tell you tonight, I don't know how many years that's been, but I can tell you tonight, he's still alive. How you know, Brother Jones, because he lives right there. Oh, glory to God. He's the good shepherd that died for us. He's the great shepherd that lives for us. He arose again. Up from the grave he arose. He came forth with victory. Hallelujah. But I want to come to one more part tonight, and we're going to have communion. I read in the book of Peter, 1 Peter, and I'm going to turn to them, I will, from the 5th chapter of 1 Peter. The apostle speaks of those who love God and serve God and keep his commandments. And in the 4th verse it said, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Would you go with me right now? John said, Jesus said, he is the good shepherd that dies for the sins of mankind. Hallelujah. Now David says, and then he also, Job says, and that he is the great shepherd that lives for us. He arose again. And now Peter says, he is the chief shepherd that shall come again and receive us unto himself. Hallelujah. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Have you ever heard that quote? We're going to wear a crown, thank God. What do you say, preacher? He is the chief shepherd that's coming back again. Isn't it amazing how that God has got the Bible all lined out? It's just something. People to say, I've heard people mock and not laugh and make fun about the Bible, how the men wrote it, and then they changed their mind, and that's way back down and what have you. Let me tell everyone tonight exactly what the Bible has to say. It was written by holy men of old, chosen by God, anointed by God. And the spoken, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is not by some private interpretation. Not because Peter wanted to write this, or Paul wanted to write this, or John wanted to write this. But the Holy Ghost moved upon them. And we all fish together. 66 books become one. Written by over 40 writers over a period of some 1600 years. And it all fish together. Why? Because there's only one Holy Ghost. Anointing. Amen. Directing. Hallelujah. Peter said, when the chief shepherd shall come. Now, I got out of the military, out of the Air Force in 1959. And when I got out, the highest rank that an enlisted man could have was a master sergeant. And then I heard that they had made senior master sergeant. And then they made a chief master sergeant. Is there anything else, Tom? I was afraid to mention all of that because, and I hesitate as to what I'm going to say now, but it may be to fit in. A master sergeant, I would like to liken it. Please understand where I'm coming from. Just in our own vernacular. He's the good shepherd. Master sergeant was a good rank. Then we go and find out that he's the great shepherd. Senior master sergeant was greater. And then we're going to find the chief master sergeant and the chief shepherd. Let us know he's coming back again. Now that might be a very crude illustration, but I hope you understand where I'm coming from. He is the good shepherd. And I'm going to come close to you. I'll tell you something. Anyone that would die for me, he's good. Anyone that would die for me. Hallelujah. I don't know what everyone else is going to do when we get to glory. I don't know how it's going to really be. All we can do is just imagine. And I want to somehow have time somewhere along the line. We're going to have plenty of time. I want to let them know how much I thank you for dying for me. I don't have the words tonight. I don't know how to say it. Everything that I say seems so light and so empty and so meaningless when you talk about something like that. But when I come to glory, I stand with the Lord, and I'm there. I'm going to be able to let him know that I really appreciate him dying for me. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. Don't ever let that slip out of your mind. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. I've said that so many times. We had an evangelist, missionary, that came several times to preach revivals. And one time his wife Teresa said to me, you must have said that 1,000 times. He's a good God. I said, if I have said it 1,000 times, I'm going to say it one more time. He's a good God. Amen, amen. Let's say it together. Is that all right? We'll just double up tonight, say it together. Everybody. He's a good God. Say it again. He's a good God. Amen. That makes me feel good. Oh, glory to God. Not only is he good, he's a great God. He's a great shepherd. He arose again. He could have died, but if he stayed there, I would have had no hope. But he came out of that tomb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the devil do what he will and what he can, but the devil could not hold it. He's alive. Who was it that was talking? He said, I know he's alive. How do you know? Whoever it was, he said, I talked to him this morning, and he talked to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now Peter says, he's the chief shepherd. He's the chief shepherd that's coming back. I've talked about him dying. I've talked about him rising from the dead and living. Now I've come to the last part, the chief shepherd that's going to come to take us out of this world. He's coming to take us home. I've been preaching almost 54 years. The 19th of this month, that is 12 days from now, we preached our first sermon in a scout house in Sierra Vista, Arizona. Starting a new church. And after all of these years, 54 years, Danny has come back to God, turned his life back over to God, found out that his daughter, his sister Elizabeth, lives in that part of the state of Arizona and is tending the church that we started. God's a big God. We were just the instrument. He's the one that started. He's the one that builds it. Hallelujah. I'm going to close. I want you to turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. I've read the 22nd chapter. It talks about the death of Jesus. I've read the 23rd chapter of Psalms talking about him living. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. I'm going to read the 24th chapter. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is in this coming? It's the King of glory. Who is it coming back again in the 19th chapter? It's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. What is his name, Brother George? His name is the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd and the Chief Shepherd. His name is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the Living God. He's coming again. Hallelujah. We sing songs about his coming. And I jotted some down. Jesus is coming soon. I'll see you in the rapture. It could happen any moment. What a glad reunion day. Getting ready to leave this world. We shall see the King. When I wake up to sleep no more. And the list goes on and on and on. But the chief shepherd is coming back again. How do you know, preacher? Because Paul said, when he was writing for the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then when we live in the dead, shall be called together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What you say, Brother Joseph? The Lord is coming. The chief shepherd is coming. Is he the only one that says that? No. I've read the first chapter of Acts. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, after that 40 days being with all the disciples after his resurrection, he's preparing to go back to the Father, takes them out to the Mount of Olives. Standing there, he blesses them, believe the word, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be endued with power. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And while he was there with him, the Bible says, suddenly he began to ascend into heaven, caught up in a cloud. And the disciples stand there looking, and suddenly there were two angelic beings standing close by and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? Listen to this, this same Jesus that ye see go away shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go away. Who's coming back? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How's he coming? He's coming the same way he went away. He's coming the cloud. I mentioned Brother Wilmer, let me just mention it one more time. Maybe I'll never mention it again. Brother Wilmer and his family got saved. He was a tech sergeant in the Army, Fort Huachuca. Then he made the sixth strike right after that. Got saved. Hadn't been in church for years. Raised Baptist. Died all Texas, right out of Houston. His wife got saved. His two boys got saved. His daughter got saved. Brother Wilmack and both of his boys were called to the ministry. Two of them are ministering tonight. Brother Wilmack has already gone on. They have not been saved very long, but they believed everything I preached. I preached the Lord's coming. I've been preaching that all my ministry. The Lord's coming. They said they were going on vacation. They left Arizona. They were going across New Mexico and over into Texas, West Texas. They, in the middle of the night, wherever, whatever time it was in the night time, Brother Wilmack said, I looked and he said, I saw the cloud, and then behind the cloud, there was the moon was so bright, it was like that there was a lining around the cloud. And he said, all I could think about is the Lord's coming. Listen to this. He said, we stopped the car out there in West Texas. Got out of the car, expecting any moment for Jesus to step out from behind the cloud. He's coming, folks. I mentioned that he got called to preach. His two boys got called to preach. They adopted three other children, and one of those is a preacher tonight. Four preachers out of that family. He believed that Jesus is coming. He died believing Jesus is coming. All of my ministry, I hoped, I still hope, that it will come while I'm alive. But if I go by the way of grave, the last thing that I'll know, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Then I die, go by the way of grave, he'll come for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the great shepherd that lives. And I close tonight. He's the chief shepherd that's coming. We're going to gather at the table of the Lord. We're going to have communion. We weren't the assemblies of God for 3 years while we were in England. I don't know whether that was the policy of the assemblies all over, but after a while, that church decided we'll have communion every Sunday. We'll have communion in the afternoon, just for those that want to come. Service in the morning, service at night. But we'll meet at the church at a certain time, Sunday afternoon, to have communion. There might have been 10, 12. Then it dwindled down to just a little handful. Now, I'm not here to tell anybody how often they might have communion, but Jesus said, as often as you do. If it's weekly, if it's monthly, if it's quarterly, whenever it is, he said, remember me. And as I say the last words, and we're going to gather, seemingly we remember everything but Jesus. I've run into children, they can almost quote the times of the various programs in television. They know right down the line. And so often they come from Christian homes and know so little about the Lord. What do you say, preacher? He's the one. Jesus is the one. Let him have his way until the day is done. Jesus is the one. When we come tonight, I mentioned earlier, if you feel that you're not prepared to take the communion because you feel like something is in your life, please remember this, you'll never be worthy on your own. You'll never be good enough to merit the blessings of God. He's a merciful God. And if there's anything in your life that's lacking tonight, make it right. Make it right with the Lord. And as we come together, the deacons are going to serve, and we're going to come closer to the front. The deacons are going to serve. Remember Him. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. We were building this church. The devil once said, we'll buy a pew, and we found out how much they cost, and they did. My daddy said, son, I'd like to buy something for the church. He didn't attend church here. He had his own church. What can I purchase? What can I give for the church? And my dad bought the pulpit stand and his table, the communion table. And I want to remember. I try to remember. My mind goes back to my dad and the things that we did and how he was a good daddy. But tonight we're remembering Jesus, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He died, he arose again, he's coming back. Will you stand?